Section 1.1. The book is a warning. This book is written as a warning to every person alive. Everyone, you ask. That's ridiculous. You are likely thinking, a message can only be a warning when it arrives soon enough to allow a person adequate time in which to make changes. If that's what you think, you're absolutely right. It does no good to yell out, for, on a golf course, long after the ball has skipped past any people who might be in its path. Issuing a warning, arriving too late for those to duck, or move to avoid an errant ball, doesn't make sense. The sequence of events I will discuss have already been set in motion, but there's yet time for each of us to make changes and adjustments to our lives. What I am saying is this: if you are reading this book, then the warning it contains is for you. By near, I mean the time remaining is short enough to affect almost every citizen who is alive today. That fact alone should be enough to catch your attention. If you believe the end of man will indeed come, but will happen well past your time on earth, then the words of this book could be hardly viewed as a threat. A threat must be close enough to pose some level of danger. A threat also must be relevant in order to be real. If you heard on the news, there's a violent tornado tearing up a town in Oklahoma, but happen to reside in Florida, you should not be living in fear for your life. You may well experience concern and trepidation for persons in Oklahoma, but not for you or your immediate neighbors. If you heard on the news, a large asteroid was going to strike the Earth in 2 years, you would have plenty of reason for worry. Like a huge asteroid speeding on a collision course with Earth, the ending I am speaking about will affect every person alive at the time when it happens. Nobody will be spared. Not one person. It will affect kings, queens, presidents, prime ministers, and dictators. Rich or poor, famous or anonymous, it doesn't matter. Everyone's lives will be changed forever. Allow me to ask another question: is it wrong to yell fire in a crowded theater? Most people readily agree, it's very wrong to do so. The panic and confusion such an action potentially creates in a packed environment inevitably results in more injury and death than an actual fire. Laws are typically established to limit the actions of even well-meaning citizens so that the needs of the many do not outweigh and crush the needs of the few. We tend to opt for those actions which will protect most of the people most of the time. So, while we want to warn the people of the danger lurking nearby, we want to do so in a responsible manner. Ideally, we would want to warn them with enough time in which to respond. So it is with the end of this age. But no man is issuing an alarm. It is God who is warning us. The unmistakable signs are everywhere. All one need do is simply take a careful look around to see the forecasted events are actually happening, and comprehension will follow. Assume for the moment you are seated in a theater and the roof is nearly engulfed in flame. If you are sufficiently focused on watching the movie, you will likely miss the first wisps of smoke forming near the ceiling, and you will probably dismiss the slight burning smell reaching your nostrils. You might think it's the result of either an outside source, perhaps the smell of chimney smoke, or the result of a smoker seated nearby. In any event, there's significant chance you will only notice the fire after the symptoms have become severe enough to pose a threat. At that point, you face the real possibility of being trampled if you try to leave immediately, or becoming asphyxiated should you stay. Unless you manage to remain calm, cool, and collected, your chances of leaving the theater alive may be in grave jeopardy. Imagine an alternative to that deadly scenario. Assume the movie is stopped, the lights in the theater brighten, and a calm voice comes over the public address system, asking all patrons to exit the theater in an orderly manner. The emergency exit doors open, and people begin to file out. There could be made mention, this is only a precaution. The smell of smoke has been reported somewhere within the building. No mention of the word fire is ever made. People will likely depart the theater calmly, and without panicking. They may notice the early signs of a fire, and make haste to depart the building. Even if a panic does eventually ensue due to an actual fire, the loss of life will be far less than the alternative. The warning was timely rendered, calmly announced, and appropriately understood. It didn't matter, the building was already burning. The actions taken were still the most prudent available. So it is with this book. Think of its message as an announcement on the world's PA system. The ending for which I am issuing a warning will indeed happen. And a whole lot sooner than most people would imagine it might. Also, it's not for some event which is going to occur 1,000 years from now. The events prophesied are right around the corner. As I said, the building is already burning. The fire is close enough to preclude most people from just dismissing it with a wave of their hand. You may be thinking, oh, I will be long gone and buried before any of those things he talks about even begin happening. You are wrong. The truth is, the cinders of the coming apocalypse are already present in the world. Nearly invisible wisps of smoke have formed among the dark rafters of the ceiling. The faint smell of something burning is already present in the air. Denying it will not make the coming catastrophe go away. Rejecting the truth will only increase the number of casualties. Once you learn the signs, and then begin to view them happening all around, you will be hard-pressed to ignore them any longer. It will be impossible for you to remain seated inside the theater, which is this world. No longer will you be able to comfortably watch the movie of life, without at least considering your options of escape. Would anyone of sound mind sit calmly inside a burning theater, just on the chance the movie will end, before the fire becomes too serious? Could you remain unaware of the moment the building would become fully engulfed in flame? It would take either supreme arrogance, or oblivious ignorance, to stay and remain indifferent. Well, our world is the theater of our lives, and it's on fire. And unless you are lying on your deathbed, you cannot remain seated, waiting for the end of the movie. You will have to decide. Anyone reading these words stands an excellent chance of living long enough to be a witness to most, if not all, the major events detailed within these pages. That's a fact. I also want to point out, this book contains information which is quite specific. It's not vague evidence from a civilization long extinct, such as the Mayans. Recently, there has been much attention paid to the Mayan calendar. Many observers were speculating the end of the world would happen on the 21st of December 2012. This was to be the last day of the world, as allegedly predicted by the Mayan calendar. Since the date has now come and gone without the world ending, many scholars are now offering excuses as to why nothing happened. While it's true the Mayans were highly superstitious people, and believed bad things happen in predictable cycles, nothing they recorded predicted the end of the world in 2012. That's also a fact. It's also true their latest calendar cycle ended in December of 2012. But the world did not end. Nor was it ever supposed to. There are plenty of other examples in history where persons have predicted the end of the world. Usually, the proclamation is issued for a date, without a single shred of credible evidence ever being presented in support of their statement. Some of the modern-day prophets purport to be speaking for God. At times they will even quote the Bible as their source. The most recent example was a California preacher who predicted the world would end on May 21st of 2011. As usual, he didn't offer any concrete information backing up his prediction. All he suggested was, the Bible guarantees it. When it didn't come true, he changed the date of Earth's demise to October 21st of that same year. When things didn't end then, he was forced to recant and issue an apology. This book makes no such claims. There are many dates included, along with the supporting documentation for each one. Herein lies ample proof of what God is going to do, and when he is going to do it. Let me be clear, God didn't simply place a bunch of dates in Scripture, marking the end of this age. The information is there, but it's been openly hidden in plain sight. God cloaked the prophecies in code, so only the right generation of people would be able to decode them. Only then could the true picture of the coming end times emerge. I have said many times, the Bible is much closer to a calculus textbook than a history novel. Merely reading it, from the beginning to end, does very little for the reader. The Bible must be studied in depth, in order to gain understanding. Only then can the true miraculous nature of the knowledge God placed inside the pages of the Bible be fully appreciated. I am going to walk the reader through each step on the path to understanding how God has revealed the coming end to us. I have included all the references, so you can verify each fact for yourself. Please don't accept my word for any of it. You be the judge. Your eternal life depends upon making the correct choice. When you're ready, you can proceed on to section 2, The End is Catastrophic. It can be found on page 4 of your book. If you're listening using the website, just hit the back button on your browser to return to the chapter 1 page. Then click on section, The End is Catastrophic. If you're listening to the book on a computer or tablet, manually selecting which lesson to listen to next, click on the File Explorer to pull up the thumb drive menu. Then, click on the box for section labeled 1.2, the end is catastrophic.